one drop of peppermint is like 28 cups of peppermint tea. So that potency really works within the body chemistry. And so with peppermint, like professional athletes will smell it before a race because it gives the body a natural boost. It connects you with your breath, it lifts you up, and it really does help your blood circulate around the body. So if somebody has a fainting episode, we've used it, as you said previously, and it will literally help bring you round, bring you back, and help you sort of become more alert. So yeah, it's nice that someone shared that with you and directed you in our direction.
Welcome to the Sleep Nanny Podcast. We're here to serve as your parenting partner, your sanity saver, and bring you a healthy dose of wholesome conversation with guests and experts to make the minefield of parenting more joyful and less overwhelming. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode. So today I am joined by Karina. Karina Rathbone-Ariel is a passionate aromatherapy emotions coach, helping people feel empowered with natural solutions and to utilize essential oils for both emotional and physical well-being. Karina is a certified aromatherapist, Swedish and stone massage therapist, internationally accredited emotional aromatherapy advisor, and she is just one of the most fascinating people to talk to. I discovered this when I met her in person at the baby show, and we got talking, and I said to Karina, you have just got to come on the Sleep Nanny podcast and talk about what you do, because there is so much to what she does that can help so many people. Karina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. No, I'm really excited to be here, and it really is one of my passionate topics. I love sharing what these oils can do for people. It's an incredible process.
It really is. And, you know, quick backstory. I was pointed in Karina's direction at one of the events where I was speaking on stage, and I'd actually suffered, we think, a nasty neurotoxic food poisoning that sent me into a spin. And after the obvious effects of food poisoning, I was still left with these horrible dizzy spells, and I actually went really dizzy on stage. I kept going, nobody would have known, but afterwards I was still dizzy, and somebody said to me, you need to go and see Karina, and that you'd managed to get somebody back up after they fainted just by using satin essential oils. And I went, right, I somehow need to get home, and I need this dizziness to stop, and I think this lady might have the solution, so I'm going to go and have a chat with her. And that's where it all began, and she really did save me. But these oils are powerful, aren't they, Karina? The sense of smell, it blows my mind.
Yeah, so exactly that. With the peppermint that was recommended to you, drop of peppermint is like 28 cups of peppermint tea. So that potency really works within the body chemistry. Mm. And so with peppermint, like professional athletes will smell it before a race because it gives the body a natural boost. It connects you with your breath, it lifts you up, and it really does help your blood circulate around the body. So if somebody has a fainting episode, we've used it, as you said previously, and it will literally help bring you round, bring you back, and help you sort of become more alert. So yeah, it's nice that someone shared that with you. Yeah. and directed you in our direction.
I'm so glad they did. And it's because, like you say, the potency, and it gets to the brain so much faster. That's what it is, isn't it? It's so when you inhale that scent, it connects with the brain.
So absolutely. You smell it and it immediately affects not only your nasal passage, it also helps with your airways. It helps you connect with your breathing, but if you smell it through the nose, you'll feel it through the sinuses, you feel it through around the back of the eyes, in fact. And it's so amazing that your nasal cavity, your nose, is right next to the central part of your brain. And that is where your emotion center is. So chemically speaking, when you smell something, it can trigger different hormones in the body. Wow. So if you have been feeling wobbly and you smell the peppermint, that literally is going to give you a boost. It helps you to sort of lower your stress responses. You know, if you're panicking, I used to faint quite a lot as a child, actually. I used to have low blood pressure. And that feeling of knowing you're about to go, or that sort of wooziness or spinning feeling, the peppermint helps to sort of bring you back from that. And so your stress response is, you don't feel quite so panicky in your chest. And so it's amazing. It's amazing. That's just one of the ways that it can help.
And that's like a remedial, like if you know, you can actually feel better or fix something like that. But you mentioned there as well about the emotion center, and I'm sure lots of people can relate to the thing of like, oh, when I smell this smell, it reminds me of this, or, you know, trigger feelings. And talk to us a bit about that. Like, that's so clever.
So it's so beautiful. So where you grew up, the aromas you smell in your childhood, and all of the things that you're familiar with, your sense of smell is so intrinsically linked, completely wrapped around your memories. So somebody in England, you know, in my garden, we used to have honeysuckle growing all across the huge wall in the garden. And it was a really intoxicating summer smell. And if I smell honeysuckle, I'm instantly reminded of that sweetness and childhood. Mm. And it's instant and it's really powerful. And, you know, so if other people grew up in India, they might have spices that are more familiar through cooking. And that could be really comforting. And it can go the other way as well. If you've had a bad experience, certain smells make you sort of have a trigger of, oh, don't want that. So I think it's so powerful. We really underestimate it.
Yeah.
And I think I came to oils from a medicinal perspective originally. And then I realized what the emotions were doing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe how it was helping me to process things and to actually give me a boost through the day. I mean, I think I had a perfume years ago, which was really citrusy. And I would go, oh, I'm really tired. I'll spritz it in the middle of the day for a boost.
Yeah.
And that is aromatic dressing. That's using an essential oil to lift you up. And that is that, but citruses are really mood boosting.
Mm.
And so I was automatically using an essential oil, but hadn't really correlated it as aromas for the mind in that sense.
Yeah.
So you've probably got similar experiences yourself. Is there anything that you remember vividly from childhood, or certain smells that take you to holidays or things like that?
I don't know about smells from childhood. There's nothing that kind of, well, no, that's not true. The general spring air, and I did notice this the other day. We're in springtime as we're recording this.
Yeah.
And it was, there were, it's gone a bit cold now, but there was a mild spell, and I was just like, oh, just, and it wasn't a particular scent, but it was just that sense of spring air. And that really did take me back to the comforts of childhood, where probably I spent more time outside especially, you know, playing in the garden and things. But with holidays as well, like I do love the scent that comes with milder air, warmth.
And even grass, freshly cut, cut grass
can
be a really summer, you know, school field. Playing field just being freshly cut, that sort of smell is really evocative, isn't it?
Yeah, that so, yeah, I really do love the smell of freshly cut grass. Why is that? Because lots of people say they like that smell.
Well, I think in summer we have that positivity from nature anyway, with more day, more sunshine.
I
know that seasonally, you know, we can be affected by the darker weather. It could be a bit oppressive.
So freshly
and I think
cut
the sunshine
grass
in summer, and or even tropical fruit juices. We tend to use those things more in the summer, don't we?
Yeah.
And then you've got aromas like flowers. So springtime, and you think of crocuses and blossom, cherry blossom, and those lovely, very subtle florals. But what you're smelling, you say the smell of spring, is sometimes not only the moisture levels have altered, but the trees also release different things that we're not visibly conscious of.
Yeah.
And that's really powerful and emotive as well.
That's part of it. Yeah, it's true. I really I think you've talked to me a bit about this as well, like how the sense that we're attracted to, so there'll be things that I find smell beautiful that other people wouldn't like, and in the same sense where we maybe choose our fragrances, and you know, everybody has things that they are drawn to more than others. And you showed me some really interesting things about that, and how why we may be drawn to certain things, and it can come from emotions.
Yes.
And that that's the world that I find really, really interesting, that what one person may be drawn to may be linked to something emotional rather than just, oh, yes, I like that smell.
It's really interesting. Yeah, so you've got different categories, haven't you? You've got sort of roots of plants that are very deep, rich, smoky aromas. Vetiver is one of my favourites. Or then you have tree oils like frankincense or cypress or, you know, evergreen trees, the fir trees. And they're very strengthening aromas. So they're quite grounding. They think of a tree and it's deeply rooted. And often what we see above the ground is the depth of the tree roots under the ground. So the trees are really anchored and stabilizing. So if you're feeling a little bit wobbly emotionally, the tree oils will stabilize those feelings. Then we mentioned florals already, but there's mints and herbs. And then you've got spices. And there's, yeah, literally what people like, fascinatingly, with the emotions is usually what their body needs is balancing. And it's so interesting that the chemistry of that sort of works with like a key within ourselves. And when we use an oil for like one particular reason, it has multiple benefits on the side of that as well. But yeah, so often people are saying, oh, why do I love this so much? And then you can look it up in certain books and references that you can find, like ginger is an empowering oil. So it can really, if you're procrastinating, that ginger can lift you up and motivate you. Or lavender can help you communicate clearer. And yeah, there's huge elements that we just don't really utilize in modern life. It sort of goes under the radar. It's not really... really modern sort of science noticed, yet it's ancient medicinal history, really. And it's fascinating.
It feels like a real it feels like a really it's not untouched, because like you say, it goes back into ancient history, but in the modern world it feels like a little bit of an untapped secret superpower that we could learn so much more about. And I'm thinking now, you know, from our listeners who we're going to have listeners who maybe at the stages where it could be morning sickness and nausea through to exhaustion with a new baby, or emotional roller coasters of trying to parent toddlers and all kinds of things that will be going on for them. I know you know a lot about this and how you can use various oils to support all these kinds of things. I mean, what can you share with along those lines that can really help?
Well, with parenting specifically, I think it can be quite overwhelming, you know, where even through pregnancy as well, we have so much advice that's sort of offloaded on people. When you mentioned, you know, nausea, I actually suffered terrible nausea with my first daughter. And I ended up losing weight through my pregnancy rather than gaining it. I felt so nauseous, it was ridiculous. But my midwife, I had a lovely Chinese lady who would say to me, oh, you need to drink some ginger tea, or, you know, peppermint tea. Peppermint and ginger were sort of recommended. And of course, the oils do the same thing. So you can literally smell peppermint, and that's going to help balance out the body if you're feeling really quite icky. But they're famously the herbs, the oils are more potent than that. And it also gives you something really natural, which you're just smelling. So you're not you don't have to apply it on the body. So you can have it in a diffuser aromatically in the background. And that's really going to help the body and help that sort of settle. And also having something in your hand you can utilize, like a natural tool that that's not going to overwhelm you with a list of massive side effects. You know, you have to be careful to not take too many, you know, painkillers and things like that. But there are oils that can help you with so many steps through that, emotionally and physically, definitely. It's beautiful to incorporate that. Like hypnobirthing is one that I often mention as well. So quite often hypnobirthing professionals will use the smell as an anchor. So quite often that's orange, wild orange, smells quite sweet, quite inoffensive, you know. And smelling that on a regular basis, what you can do is form a completely new neurological pathway in the brain. So with that habitual process of smelling the oil regularly and visualizing calm,
Yeah.
It can be a really powerful anchor into that moment for when labor actually happens as well. So some people use lavender, some people use balance oil.
I should have it on my desk.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that amazing? So if we've had tension in the body or emotional tension, those oils are so useful. Yeah.
I actually found ginger, so I didn't know about this back then, but I found ginger ale and apple juice was like my go-to drink when I was expecting my eldest, my firstborn. And for that kind of reason, like the ginger just felt really settling. And I really didn't give that any thought. That didn't come from any, you know, advice or anything. It just was, and I don't normally drink it. I don't really drink it now, but it was just that instinctive. And so I really get what you mean with that. Like our body does seem to know, and that's what I guess why we get cravings in pregnancy as well, isn't it? Our body is going, I'm craving this. There's obviously something in it that I'm needing.
Definitely,
That we're
drawn to. Actually, when I was pregnant, I think I really went off coffee. The smell of coffee smelled so bad to me, and I really do love a coffee. I don't have lots of it, but I do love a coffee in the morning. And to me, usually that's the smell of starting my day, preparing my day. But when I was pregnant, I couldn't. My body was just like, no, couldn't go near it. And even walking past Starbucks and other coffee shops in London, I was like, no, my body was saying no to this very clearly. So I like what you're mentioning there, like the intuition of your body is really amazing. You know, there is definitely reasons behind it. And your body goes through so much, doesn't it, in pregnancy? And, you know,
did you get your sense for, is coffee okay now? Like, are you okay with it now? Did that last? Or
I'm actually fine with it now.
Yeah, because I have one that stuck around.
Like, I was happy again drinking it.
That is good, because I had one that has stuck, and I don't know why. And it's the smell of, I put it down to fajitas, but I think what happened was my husband was making fajitas once, and it was when I was pregnant, and I think I felt a bit nauseous, and I'd eaten them before, it was fine, it's not a problem. This one day I just went, oh my God, I can't bear the smell. I can't eat this. And there's nothing wrong with it. It was just me. And we are now, my eldest is 13 and a half years old. I still dislike the smell of cooking fajitas. It's almost like that stir fry charry kind of in the pan set scent that even now, if he even does a stir fry, I'm just like, I don't like that smell.
It takes you immediately back, right? The smell is like really so vivid, it takes you back to that moment where it wasn't working for you. Yeah.
Where it made me feel nauseous, maybe. Yeah. But that's how powerful it is, as you say. It's just, no, don't.
Yeah.
Like to overcome that.
But I think lavender oil is probably one of the most commonly used oils for soothing. Mm. It's in loads of baby products, very calming to the skin, and lots of bedtime sprays have lavender in.
It's in our spray.
And, it's in our spray. Yes, you have. I mentioned, you have the spray, don't you? That's lovely.
Yeah.
And so, that having those little routines are really fascinating as well. So you can sort of habit stack your routines to expect to calm down before bedtime, which is probably one of the very underused but really valuable ways of helping your children to prepare for bedtime. And there's particular oils that literally help lower that stress response, help balance out the cortisol levels, and actually help the body just settle down. Right? You know, I think my children always revved up before bedtime, and so we use a diffuser, and that helps to settle it. And also in the bath, you know, bath bubbles with lovely fragrances, or preferably, you know, very natural ones. There's lots of synthetic fragrances out there, so the most natural you can go is the best. So
that's why we wanted to create our scent. It's like 100% pure essential oil, and so we've got the candle, which is great for calming for mum or for parents, you know, to enjoy that relaxation. The spray is a room spray or spritz spray. It's safe to use in children's rooms or around the bath or wherever. We call it a spritz to sleep, but it just has that enhancement. And I agree with you. I have, obviously, in creating our own, I sampled so many, and there are some that do you can really tell the synthetic-ness to them, and it's not the same. But when it's that pure oil, it's just...
Yeah, sadly, there's so many unregulated areas of that, and it is linked with perfumery. So I tend to try and use oils which are as clean as possible. And there are so many companies out there. I do tend to lean towards the doTERRA one because the type of lavender that they use is the most calming one as well. So there's some lavenders that can excite the body. So even in the species of lavender that's used, sometimes it can have the reverse effect. So if somebody doesn't love lavender, it's interesting that you can even use an alternative, like orange for me is very, very calming. So that will help me sleep better than lavender. Just little switches. And I think my daughter loves minty aromas for bedtime. And my other daughter loves lavender. So we've got three different types. And you always assume your children are going to be exactly like you, but they're not always the same. Again, the body speaks to the individual, doesn't it? The sense of smell.
Yeah, definitely. And I imagine you could also use that then, we were just sort of saying, for sleep and calming. But also if you've got a little one who is maybe... well, when in toddlerhood, meltdowns, you know, that sort of fractious time and things, and just like if you've got that diffuser going and you have that scent going, whilst obviously all the other calming things you can do as a parent, but that could really aid the mood, would you say?
It can completely help, absolutely. And even children with special needs who have additional, you know, anxiety issues, it can be really helpful to have something like a room spray so they feel in control. And so they can be like, oh, I'm feeling these emotions. And rather than judging or trying to shift out of them immediately, to use that aroma is really nice to just sort of accept what we're feeling. So the mindfulness comes through it as well. And it's a very stabilizing practice to sort of go, oh, where am I feeling that? You know, and that's a lot of the emotions work I do, is recognizing where we hold tensions. And as a massage therapist, you know, we talk about the world of the world on the the weight of the world, sorry, on your shoulders, that tension in the body, sometimes a nervous tummy, you know, if you've got new things happening or going to school. The aromas can be really powerful to sort of stop and notice it. And then sort of, where is it in my body? And should I just sit with that and breathe? And again, anchoring into the breath is just so useful to help bring down that stress response. So, absolutely. Using a room spray if the kids are arguing, you know, you could even use your sleep spray. You don't have to say anything or have a diffuser on in the background. And you don't have to directly say to them, I'm putting this on so it calms you down. You could just do it. And so it can be really subtle. Or if there's a particularly anxious husband who's come home from work in a bad mood, or just, you know, that happens in life. Don't say anything. Just, spritz.
It's your secret weapon, ladies.
Thing is, you could use the sleep spray for more things.
Well, that's it. That's valuable. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's very valuable. Life throws at us stresses. You know, sometimes I know for me, I had a natural pregnancy planned, and then I ended up being induced with my first daughter. And so that was a little bit of like, oh gosh, I planned all this lovely natural stuff, and then I didn't get to use it. And I got oils actually not on that pregnancy, but with my second daughter. But so powerful to, you know, so if something does change in your labor plan, you can deal with it and just be like, right, these are my priorities. I'm just going to take back my control. And again, the oils can be just incredible for that. Just a coming back to your own energy. That's also a big part of what I love teaching, you know, because we can get bombarded, can't we, with other opinions and other directions of what people think's best for us.
That's a really great point, because when we have these plans and they don't often go to perfect plan, I think, with labor and birth, and that it can throw all kinds of twists and turns at you. And in a moment when you're so vulnerable and, you know, there's a lot going on. And I think, I mean, we always talk about that and being flexible, like having a flexible plan and knowing that things could change and being okay with that. Because if we get too hung up on things happening a certain way, like I had a hypnobirthing water birth planned for the first one, and it ended up being a forceps with emergency spinal. So like things don't always go to plan. But I think preparing for the unknown and knowing that, look, if things don't go to plan, and having those, I guess, anchors and tools, like you say, to be able to tune into you, knowing that I can't control these things that are going on, but I can control me. And that, I think, is actually quite empowering. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, are there anything, what could do that? If somebody was listening now saying, yes, okay, what do I need to get in order to center myself in that moment? If things do go a little off plan and I need to just gather myself, like what, how do we do that?
So I really, well, particularly for, do you mean for pregnancy and birth in specific?
Yeah, I mean in that particular, yeah.
Yeah. So I know you have the balance oil, don't you, that you've used already. That, because it is tree oils and it's incredibly gentle. That is a really lovely stabilizing one. So we mentioned earlier, didn't we, if your mind's racing and you feel really sort of off center, or perhaps, you know, that you're losing control in any way, tree oils will again help you just bring your energy back to yourself, back to your center, centering yourself, you know, allowing you to sort of relax into, right, what is it I really want to do, rather than being bombarded and overloaded. I really love the tree oils for that. So, and again, orange, if we've had something that wasn't exactly how we wanted, orange has been studied to help with PTSD. So there's certain peer-reviewed papers that have actually shown peer-review is generally animal tested. So they have done tests on mice, which shows it calms the startle reflex. So that's how they can make the statement. But also on prison inmates in America, with people who've had traumatic experiences, the orange can actually help calm the body down as well. So orange helps you make feel secure and centered, and it gives you back a sweetness as well. You know that orange is a sunshine oil, got the strength and the purity of the sun within that. You know, it's cold pressed from the rind. So it's from these rich, ripe plants which have their sun in the energy, really. That's really nice to use. And I personally love orange and balance together. I think they're a beautiful combination. And again, so allowing yourself to sort of find that security within again, I think that's a really important thing, to know that there is science that backs up. I think orange and balance are two amazing oils I couldn't be without, really. Yeah, for all ages.
I love orange. I really do. So that would be, if you're going to get your hands on something to get yourself centered and regain that, even, you know, we were talking about in labor, but it could be in any situation. It sounds like it's a great go-to, the balance and the orange, for sure.
Yeah, whether it's amazing. You know, sometimes whether it's work situations where you're going into meetings and you kind of have a feeling of dread, or if you don't like crowds, or, you know, anything that makes you feel like, oh, I'm a bit uneasy in myself, that's where it's really nice to use a tree oil. But there's so many. There's frankincense and sandalwood, but the balanced doTERRA blend I particularly like, because it's quite subtle, not overpowering. And it's got some lovely tree blends in there, which, again, I think we use them actually in yoga classes as well. So if somebody's feeling a bit wobbly in tree pose, you know, sometimes that unbalanced feeling or the literally off-center, it can actually help you anchor into that as well and stabilize you physically to balance. So I think that's quite fun.
That's fascinating. So, thinking about then the things you know to be most beneficial to our, particularly new mums, parents, in those either pre-birth or like you mentioned about PTSD. And I know that, you know, lots of people go through, let's face it, you know, having a baby is a big deal. And I think so many of us do experience, not necessarily postnatal or you know, depression or stress sometimes, yes, but sometimes it's just getting over a big deal. And right through those stages, you have a lot of great solutions and things that support parents in this journey. What would be some of your, I guess, key takeaways that you would love for our audience to take from this today?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I know there are so many.
Yeah, there are. I do think there is an oil for every situation on a physical level. As I said, they balance the body systems. They help the body to work optimally, and they can be used alongside other medications. You know, generally speaking, they're quite safe to incorporate alongside anything. I think there's the emotional side of it and the physical side. You can tune into where your needs are, really. And I do think there's particular oils that are best for children, which are much softer and gentler for sensitive skin. And I think sometimes people get a little bit scared or cautious about using essential oils because of the potency. Instead of using peppermint for children, you can use spearmint. It's just got a slightly different chemistry. It's not quite so spicy, if that makes sense, because peppermint can be really quite powerful. So it's nice to have the alternatives. Where to begin? I mean, lavender is always very common and has such versatility. So, you know, whether it's skin, whether it's emotional, and you know, that feeling of agitation within the heart, if you're feeling like you have heart racing heart, it can help with that. I think there's lavender is an all-rounder. I use it in massage as well, and tea tree, very cleansing, you know, for children's cuts and scrapes. But I think frankincense, we actually name it. Oh, my light went off. we actually have called frankincense the king of the oils. And that has such versatility. It's one of the most peer-reviewed science background research on it. Not only for the perfume industry, but there's like 8 grades of frankincense and different species. So frankincense, if you don't know what to use, frankincense is an awesome oil to have on hand.
Rounder.
Yeah, it's very centering and calming as well. And you know, it grows in really hot, dry climates, so it's a tough plant. And when it grows on the edge of a cliff in a really hot country like Ethiopia or Oman in Somalia, you have to think about the strength of it that comes through that allows it to survive. And it has that benefit for our body, for our immune system as well. So if there's viral pathogens around, there's that side of the oils as well to boost your body's defense mechanisms. so that's incredible. You know, children often pick up bugs from school. And I think frankincense is, everybody needs it in their lives. You know, and in fact, I feel so passionate about oils in that sense anyway. You know, I really feel that it's like a lost art in a way, which doesn't have to be complicated. But I do feel like medicine went one way and this was just sort of sidelined, where it's the origin of this. Medicine came from that herbal awareness. And I do think, you know, certain GPs, if you're lucky, will recognize the organic chemistry value. But really, I feel so many people I speak to through my workshops and classes and, you know, one-to-ones, they're just not aware that there are natural solutions. And also, you know, around the home, you can use them in other ways as well, like for non-toxic cleaning, specifically aromas in the house as well. Lots of toxins in the home, which you don't really want in your house, but you're probably not aware of. So certain fragrances like plug-ins can be really harmful. So if you have respiratory issues, that could exacerbate irritation for the lungs. And there are really simple natural alternatives. So
yeah,
I feel like it's like a mission to share it with people in a way, you know,
how to
incorporate that natural element and enjoy it through the processes. It's, you know, it's not horrible.
Definitely. It's beautiful. Exactly. Yeah. It's no hardship.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like you say, it's like a lost art, really. And I love that we're talking about it and bringing back some attention to these things that can be healing, restoring, enhancing. And
yeah,
I know not all oils, so I don't want anyone to do anything here, but I know some can be ingested. Some are more for aroma purposes, but actually knowing that there are so many different ways as well that you can, you know, topically on the skin, the sense of smell and so on. Yeah, really powerful stuff. I definitely could talk about this all day with you.
Yeah, and I think the French aromatherapy training that I've had has specifically been about the safe internalization of oils, which is a slightly different route. I'm trying to get this light to keep working. There must be a loose connection. So the French aromatherapy is looking at food-based substances, so like energy balls, or in fact, actually, most people don't realize that essential oils have been used in flavoring for hundreds of years, and so. Fever Tree Tonic has essential oils in there, and orange blossom flavoring in cakes is from an essential oil. And ideally, if we have a one that's labeled for food flavoring, that would have been through nutrient testing. And we're talking about droplets, not mil. We're talking about very small quantities.
Yeah,
but even that can be fantastically supportive to the internal organs. And digested safely. I generally use like little veggie capsules to take little capsules so that it goes straight into the stomach acids with food. And then it's absorbed through a different route. So you've got the food route tracked as well as that topical through the skin. So directly on location is brilliant. And then the smelling it or in the room, those three ways, it's lovely. There's something there for everybody to utilize. Even lemon, just a single drop in your water, is not acidic, whereas the juice can sometimes corrode people's enamel on the teeth. The oil won't do that, and that's really cleansing to the body. So it supports your liver and your kidneys, it supports your gut flora, and so they all help. When you look at the holistic side of aromatherapy, what's so beautiful is that you're bringing imbalances on all your body systems. I think that's amazing. And, you know, rather than isolating issues, we look at it more as a whole. And so I think that's a really key element for each individual. You know, we all have slightly different mechanisms, and it's really honouring that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's quite a fantastic way of working.
Definitely. Mm. Well, my mind is blown. I know that I could definitely ask you questions all day long, but I think the important thing is today is to make sure that our listeners know that there are alternatives, and that if they have, you know, well, they may have no problems or struggles whatsoever, but they may have learned something today about enhancers and things that can actually benefit and boost them and their little ones. Or if they are, you know, if anyone is listening and you have got any ailments or challenges, be that emotionally, psychologically, or about the body, that there are things that can really turn things around, and quite quickly as well. So if you are suffering with anything, fatigue, nausea, feeling low after having baby, you know, this could be a very small thing that makes a very big difference in your world. And I think we should, make sure we share this far and wide and get the message out there.
There's so numerous benefits, you know, and I really think there's something for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And the emotions can be quite deep, and it can really help make it more manageable. So personally, I've experienced that, and it's, I think, it's not to be underestimated. Definitely, it's it can be significant in helping you come up for air in that sense as well. You know, processing issues, definitely, really, really valuable.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll be making sure all of our parents who are looking for sleep support have something like this to support them as well with their energy and just processing that whole, when you're trying to course correct things like that in the home and struggling, feeling fatigued and in a blur, because that's something we obviously see a lot of, then there's another level of support there too. Oh, Kavina, if people are like me, full of questions and would love to reach out to you with any questions, where can they best find you and connect with you? What's the best place for them to reach out?
So, well, you can email me. I'm always on my emails every day, but I also run weekly classes on how to use oils on a Wednesday evening. We have like open to everybody, and that's 7:30, usually for about an hour. And that's lovely. Yeah. If you've got questions, it's nice to join live and it's on Zoom. But I have a Facebook group, which is called Essential Oil Hub. And that's lovely as well. And people can post questions in there. But I also offer a free half an hour call to people if they want to find out more and they're not sure where to start. I think that's really lovely for people to have a little bit of time to chat and ask questions. So that can be on Zoom or FaceTime even. I do love this, and I think the emotional coaching that I do as well, if you're feeling really stuck or you've sometimes when we're parenting we notice defaults, mechanisms that perhaps we don't love about ourselves, and that could be a little bit triggering sometimes, and even that can be supported with the essential oils very significantly to sort of deal with past issues that we've maybe resurfaced when we become parents as well. So I do coaching and usually sort of little blocks of weekly sessions to help people sort of use their oils and work through them as well. But please reach out to me. I'm happy to share all my details with you guys.
Thank you.
Whichever way is best for you, really.
We'll put all your links in the show notes. So if you're listening, have a look at the show notes. You'll find all your options there. So you can reach out to Kavina, and definitely I love the sound of joining your Zoom sessions and learning more from you. So fantastic stuff.
Thank you so much for having me
as well. Oh, you're welcome. No, thank you. Thank you for your time and for joining us and sharing your wisdom. I know we're only just scratching the surface to what you know, but I really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. Make sure you hit the follow or subscribe button on your podcast app so that you don't miss a juicy episode. And if you want to find out more about how Sleep Nanny can help you or about becoming a sleep consultant franchisee, head over to the Sleep Nanny website on sleepnanny.co.uk. If you've enjoyed the episode today, please help us spread the goodness and share it with a friend and leave us a podcast review so that more people can benefit from the takeaways that make parenting feel a little lighter. See you for the next episode of the Sleep Nanny podcast.